Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6 and Ezekiel chapter 22. And yes, I know we've been in the book of John for a number of weeks, but being a special service today, we will begin in the book of Isaiah chapter 6 and then quickly over to Ezekiel chapter 22. Shall we stand together? We read from the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at verse 1, familiar words. And it says in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me." May I say this in our reading? All of us need to come to that point in our life where we say, "Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. But Lord, we also thank you for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as we had the mission conference meetings and the meal. Lord, we thank you for those that were in attendance. We thank you for those that reported, those that blessed our hearts. But Lord, as we think of this question, who shall I send? Lord, we know that there are those that you are calling. Lord, give us the strength to walk out and to do that which is right. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Ezekiel chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 30. Again, a familiar word, or verse, many times used at mission conference time. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Whom shall I send? Send me. I sought for a man that should stand in the gap, but I found none. We find inquiring words, whom shall I send? May I say this, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are, shall we say, moved, but then won't go. Inquiring words, sad words, but I found none. Take your Bibles and please quickly turn to the book of Romans chapter 10. And may I say this, that with the notes that I have here, the majority of you that have been in church for any length of time could easily do today's sermon. They're simple thoughts. Don't expect some great revelation today, as I just simply use words from the Word of God. And in Romans chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 13 down through 15a, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? An obligation. May I say this, as I was studying my notes and as I was looking at the thoughts and as I began to ponder this Faith Promise Sunday, the obligation is simply this, and it's one of two things. You must either go or you must send. There is no other obligation if you're a born-again believer. You must either go or you must send. I want to give you thanks. Isn't it nice to have someone thank you? Yes. Wasn't the food good last night? Dr. Mark, you burned my tummy. He brought a couple of trays. I guess you brought three trays of enchiladas. Two were for the wimps, and one was for the manly crowd. I don't know, did any of the women have the hot one yesterday? Did you have one? I always knew that you were tough. Yes, I tell you what, it was good. But let me say this. As a church, as families, as individuals, we need to be willing to stand in the gap for those who have said, I will go, send me. They are willing to go, but they need backing. And folks, we're the ones that have to do it. I thank you for giving. I'm glad that our church is willing to send forth the Word of God through our missionaries. We support three different Bible groups that send and provide Bibles for missionaries, and that's important. But it would be no good to produce Bibles if there wasn't someone that was taking them and distributing them. Thank you for giving. I want to thank you for caring about world evangelism. You know, there are some people that are just satisfied with their family being saved, and that's all that matters. But it doesn't stop there. There's more to be done. As we said in Sunday school, the job is not done yet. It's not even done in our area. There's much to be done. I want to thank you for praying for the safety of our missionaries. Folks, it's a dangerous world out there. And our enemy hates anyone that's taking the Word of God. He wants to destroy them. He wants to bring them down. He wants to make the testimony of Christ of none effect. And you need to pray for the safety of our missionaries, that they may remain physically strong. I'm amazed at how many of the mission letters come in asking for prayer because he or she or one of the children has something that has slowed down their ministry. But pray that they remain physically strong. Pray that they remain emotionally strong. I'm going to tell you this, that when you're in the ministry, Satan is attacking you 24/7. He's trying to bring down Pastor Stephen. He's trying to. For the many years that my dad was the pastor here, even now, he tried to bring him down. And I guarantee you, he's doing an awful good job at my house too. And I'm not talking about those three little four-legged beasts that run around. Now, this is a week that they are really made to be submissive because they've spent most of the time in their cage or outside. You say, so why, Pastor Paul? Because those three dogs do this. They eat and they shed. Excuse me? Oh, they jump once in a while. That's right, yes. But pray for them physically, emotionally. Pray that they are mentally right. I tell you what, sometimes some of you should be the ones who are the preachers, because I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm not right bright. Please don't say amen. Some of you say, yes, we saw that red molding down there in that one room. How many of you like that red molding? One, two, three, four, five, six. They're being kind. My wife and I don't usually have words, but we did over that red molding. Yes, but pray that they will remain physically, emotionally, and shall we say, mentally sound, but morally. You know what the number one problem in churches today is? It starts with a P. Pornography. Folks, it is destroying our nation. This so-called freedom of speech. I guarantee you, when our forefathers said freedom of speech, they did not mean pornography. It is destroying our society. It's destroying families. It's destroying the right relationships between men and women. It is not right in any form. Pray for our missionaries morally. I made mention that I have a top 10 of our missionaries. Did you hear me say that? Maybe I shouldn't have that, Brother Owens. Maybe I should love all of them the same, but I'm human. Forgive me. I had a top 10, and three of them came off the mission field this year. One, because of the fact that their teenage daughter was not adapting well to American life. One, because of his disciplining of children was not acceptable in the country he was at. And one, because of morals. And he's come home. Pray for them to remain strong morally. Morally. When we were in the country of Honduras, the missionary said there, every Honduran, well, maybe I'm being too strong. The majority of the Honduran women saw the white American male as a money ticket. And they made no qualms about flirting with the American missionaries. You know, we need to remember to pray for our male missionaries, but also for our female missionaries. See, we had a family that was in Africa, and it was the woman that began affair with an African, and they had to come home. So don't think it's just men, it's women too. But most importantly, pray for them spiritually, that they don't become depressed because of lack of results. Let me ask you this, how many of you think that right now I am struggling because of our attendance this morning? See, the fact is, our country has said, we don't need God. We've got 75 TV stations. We've got the internet. We have our smartphones. Why do we need God? And we need to remember to pray spiritually for our missionaries, that they remain strong. And I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your partnership, because it takes all of us working together. The majority of in here, you give offerings, but then you give to missions beside that. Thank you. Thank you for your partnership. I want to thank you for staying the course. I said to one of our missionaries, he said, what do you want me to say? I said, just this, continue. Folks, it's one thing to give to some cause for 6 months. It's something to give to a cause for a year. But how about 6 years? How about 20 years? How about 40 years? Giving to missions. Thank you for staying the course, for being there when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Giving when you could take that money and use it towards something else and yet you still give to missions. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's very important that we continue it. The book of Matthew tells us in chapter 20, verse 28, even the Son of Man came to minister. All of us are to minister because we're all, if we are saved, born again, we have that obligation. I kind of like preaching from down here. You have been and are, and I will, and I trust will continue to be a member in the partnership for global evangelism. Some more simple thoughts. Galatians chapter 6, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 7 through 9. Galatians chapter 6. Maybe next week, Pastor Stephen, I'll get two pulpits, one here and one down there. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be what? Weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us remain focused. Let us not be sidetracked. Let us remain faithful to the course. May I say this? It was approved at our business meeting back the last Wednesday of February that we were going to be doing some improvements to our church for our 60th anniversary, which is in October. But it goes with this stipulation that it will only be done with the money as it comes in and is available. See, we don't want to take away from other essentials to update some areas in our building. Do I hear an amen on that? Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil. I believe it's wrong for Christians to be in debt. Now, you may have your mortgage, but you're paying it every week, or excuse me, month. I believe we should do our best to pay our debts. Okay? And I believe as a church that we need to be to be right with our finances. As long as I'm getting my paycheck, that's all it counts. You don't believe that for a moment, do you? We have an obligation. The church is to proclaim the word of God both here and around the world. And we do it with whose money? Our money. Our money. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Beginning at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? You say, I can't give cheerfully, then learn to give cheerfully. Learn to be a giver. Your heavenly Father is a giver. Your Savior is a giver. The Holy Spirit is a giver. We are to be givers. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of their ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Your liberal distribution. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for what? His unspeakable gift. Did I tell you that God the Father is a giver? That Jesus Christ is a giver? That our Holy Spirit is a giver? Thank God for his unspeakable gift. In 2001, Claudine Hartman, former member of our church who has gone on to her reward, made a mission poster. 2001, it just seems like yesterday. And she used on that mission poster a verse, Psalms 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? I'll be tell you this. When I was a boy, when I was a teenager, I often thought that being the son of a pastor was a curse. I often thought that, why do my parents think I have to go to every service? But I thank God today that I had parents that brought me to every service. I thank God that I had parents that brought me to church and showed me what was important in life, and the most important thing in life is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, there are a lot of people in our society that have religion. I dare say if you talk to our missionaries here today, they would tell you in the countries their parents served, they had religion. But very few of them had Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you know the joyful sound. We're going to have our invitation at this time. And then when we're done with our invitation, we'll be talking about the faith promise papers that you have found in your bulletin. So let us stand together and we'll sing number 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Maybe you'd just like to come this morning and by yourself pray here at the altar and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now that takes courage, folks. I'm going to tell you this, to ask the Lord what he wants takes courage, because most of us say, Lord, this is what I'm willing to do. You bless it. But are we willing to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time and, Lord, also the signing of our commitment cards. Lord, we pray that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.